interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Oh boy. Now it really gets interesting. And with that, a happy Friday to you. And I think it's a TGIF, March 8 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. I know we're live on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. Bombshell news dropped within the last 4 hours. You know that's where I'm going to lead off. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next 2.5 hours, we're with you inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. I'll launch right into the news. Will Wade indefinitely suspended. My thoughts on why the timing, and what happens next. You want to get a phone call in, do it right now. We will have Glenn Gilbo in our very next segment about 12 minutes from this moment. The number to play, 706-0111. And about 1 p.m., that was the news that dropped. Will Wade indefinitely suspended. Tony Benford will take over as the interim head coach. He will certainly lead the team tomorrow night against Vanderbilt. I would imagine he'll lead them for the SEC tournament, and I think that Will Wade has almost certainly coached his final game for LSU basketball. According to a report released after LSU's press release by Ross Dellinger, of all people, Deli Alert for Sports Illustrated, LSU's conducting an internal investigation into its program, and here's the part that every single one of you is either going to roll your eyes at or get up in arms about. Just don't do it while driving too much around Acadiana, would you? According to Deli, LSU officials were, quote, unquote, somewhat blindsided by Thursday's exclusive Yahoo Sports report. And wow, is that a shocker to me. And wow, is that hard to believe for me. Briefly, I'll share my takes and then we'll take your phone calls. Yeah, they're starting to come in. The idea that LSU officials were somewhat blindsided, that is either a bold-faced lie or they're that naive, and they did an incredible lack of due diligence since SEC basketball media days in October when Wade says there was nothing to any of this. But let's make a few things very clear. LSU did everything today, everything, based on legal counsel advice, every single bit of it. Because now they're setting themselves up to fire Will Wade with cause. It means they won't have to pay him a dime. Will the program go on probation? Almost certainly. I would think about 2 years, to be honest with you. LSU, by doing this today, is trying to look like the good guys in this situation. Maybe lessen the penalty. I don't know if it's going to work, because trust me, the NC2A is still coming on campus. And I'm sure that part of that legal counsel was telling LSU, F. King Alexander, Joe Oliva, you really don't want your head coach wearing our letters across his chest or being called LSU coach while on the stand for a federal investigation. The final things that I continue to hear and what I think, I will bet you any amount of money. Just trust me on this one. I've been hearing it for months. There are more than just the two tapes out there that we're now aware of. One of them we've heard, one of them we've read a transcript from. Trust me, there's at least one more out there. Now, what I will say is this. While everybody's up in arms that LSU did this, why not just go down in a blaze of glory? What's become clear to me with this decision is the following. It's dumb that it might have taken this long to do what they did, and it might cost guys like Oliva, F. King Alexander, their jobs. I'm not sure that it will. It could. It's dumb that it took this long. It makes them look like they're either lying or naive, as I told you. But it doesn't mean what they did today is necessarily the wrong decision. And I know that I told you yesterday at 6 p.m. that Dana O'Neill, Dan Wolkin, everybody writing columns, I told you it was horse manure that LSU should sit Wade down. Unless legal counsel told them, if you don't do this, we're screwed. I think today was the biggest CYA of all time. I don't necessarily disagree with the decision. I certainly do with the timing. Let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, those are my observations. That's my initial take. What's yours?
Yeah, Ben, I've been listening to you on this subject, you know, last week or two, and I think you've been pretty much on point with it. You know, going back to the Tennessee game, you say they have some old things that's going to fall. You know, but my question is, when do LSU maybe start petitioning or not petitioning or looking at maybe going after Eric Musselman from Nevada? Because I think we're going to have a new culture the way it's looking right now.
I love it. Ron wants to know about next man up. This is still a team that's going to have an NCAA tournament run. They're not going to be banned from playing in the Big Dance. I love it. Ron wants to know who's next. I'll tell you this. Whoever might be next, they're going to want to know the condition of the program. It's one thing when Matt Luke gets his first ever head coaching job at Ole Miss, when he's elevated to take over a Rebels football program that's on probation. It's another to think LSU is about to, magnet style, attract a hell of a coach to a program that might be the equivalent of what Ole Miss football has been, in shambles from a basketball standpoint. Ron, I don't think this is the time where you put your name out there on Tinder, so to speak, if you're LSU. I don't think there's a lot of swipe right that's going on right now. Just my two cents. Let's get out there to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline once again. Ken, I think what happened today wasn't necessarily the wrong move. I think the timing is horrendous. What do you think?
Well, it may be, but I told you yesterday when you asked that trivia question, I told you it would be LSU and Will Wade, and there it is. You have Will Wade, never a coach again at LSU. Players are going to leave. If they're going back, he brought them from the ash heaps to some prominence. Now they're going back to the ash heaps. I told you that yesterday. You disagreed with that. But see, here it is. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I told you. It's Will Wade and LSU. It's just not just Will Wade. Players gone. In my opinion, I told you that yesterday. Leavers need to be gone, too. This is a disaster, man. And now LSU going to go. Well, I can't cuss because I'm pissed off right now. S to S. You know what S to S means? From sugar to S. Yeah. So that's where LSU basketball program going to. I told you that yesterday when you got that critical question. You asked that critical question. I told you it's LSU and Will Wade. And look at it is. My God, I'm so PO'd. You know what? I ain't watching no. I don't care if they win the SEC title going to be for not. They're going to get stripped of it. Probation, all this stuff going to happen, man. We're sinking again.
Ken,
next 5-10 years.
That
I'm hot.
Was fire. Oh, no, you are hot, and it's fire. I appreciate the call. I'll set the record straight just on one thing. Yes, we asked the sink or swim question. Who's going down for this, right? Was basically our question. Is it Wade? Is it LSU basketball? Is it both, or is it neither? I tended to think that LSU basketball was going to take the brunt of this. I thought somehow if Wade could get this thing past April 8, which is the national championship game, dude will parachute out. LSU today isn't allowing him the option of parachuting out. And let me throw this log on the fire while we have a moment, while Ken's hot. That was a hell of a phone call, by the way, Ken. Jacques Doucet, WAFB-TV, native son to Acadiana, within the last 2 minutes. Tweets the following. Source tells WAFB Will Wade was asked to come in and speak to LSU top-ranking officials on the allegations. Wade declined to do so. AD Joe Oliva and the school felt they were then left with no choice but to suspend Wade. If that is true, then they had no choice. I completely agree. Than to do what they did today. Don't kid yourself. LSU is not doing this today because Dana O'Neill or Dan Wolkin wrote a damn column. Who cares? LSU is doing this today because they had to. My only issue with it, I don't disagree with what Alexander and Oliva did today. I really don't. What I have a major issue with is that it took this long. Because, again, you're either lying or you're incredibly naive and you didn't take this seriously when you should have in October. You thought they were playing with you in October? The FBI was involved in October. Dawkins went to jail off of that in October. Assistant coaches in the Gulf South, the West Coast, were threatened with jail time off of this in October. And all of a sudden, the bleep hits the fan on March 7. Ruh-roh, Ruby Racks, this might be serious. Get the hell out of here. So that's my only problem with the situation. Not that they did it, the timing of it. And yeah, tomorrow LSU might just put a banner out in the PMAC. Isn't that the cherry on top? We appreciate Ron and Ken. That's one of my favorite Ken calls of all time. We got to hit a break, though. When we return, Glenn Gilbo, a guy that always keeps it level-headed. We're going to get the straight take from a guy who yesterday, I think like me, was kind of on to something. That this wasn't to be taken lightly. That this wasn't happenstance. That there was a lot of smoke and fire was coming today. Certainly there are some flames in the capital city. We'll be right back with Glenn. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in on a busy Friday, March the 8th. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. He's been all over this story, had a really good opinion piece, in my opinion, last night. He is Glenn Gilbo, and he covers LSU, the Saints, and more for the Gannett newspapers of Louisiana, including the Daily Advertiser here locally. How are you, Glenn?
Tired. How are you?
Look, I don't doubt that one bit. I want to go with something that our mutual cohort, Jacques Doucet, is now reporting, that Wade was asked to come in yesterday by Joe Aleve and company and declined to. So in light of that, if indeed that is true, I don't think that there was any recourse other than what they did today. You agree?
Well, you know, they may have done it anyway, but that definitely may have been the last straw. And boy, how arrogant is that to not even come in unless he knew what was coming and just didn't want to deal with it. Yeah, you know, I think Joe Aleve did the right thing at this point. And he's a lame duck athletic director. I mean, he didn't really have, I mean, he's a lame duck athletic director right now. I mean, his contract expires in about a year, unless he gets a new one. You know, in the eyes of the NCAA, it's always best to self-discipline yourself because, you know, an NCAA investigation has to be piggybacking the FBI investigation.
The notion that LSU brass were blindsided by the report yesterday, I guess, tell me what you think there.
No, in Aleva's statement today, they made it clear, and Aleva and President Alexander's, that they had been monitoring this for some time. And Aleva had a similar statement that he was keeping an eye on this and cooperating with the NCAA back in October when the first wiretap of Wade talking about the center, Balsa, from Florida, who later committed to Florida State. I mean, Aleva made a similar comment back then, but obviously didn't suspend Wade. So I think they've been very much watching this. Now, you can say what you want about LSU, but their NCAA compliance people are very thorough, and they, you know, they do monitor their coaches very well.
Talking right now with Glenn Gilbo, the Daily Advertiser. All right, and so as far as what is next, let's start with the program. They're going to be allowed, according to a report from Scott Rabelais, and I don't think this is a huge surprise, but Herb Vincent tells Rabelais they're going to allow LSU to play in the SEC tournament. I don't see why not. I would imagine they get to go through the big dance as well. Any reason you would disagree?
I'm trying to think of teams that have been banned from the NCAA at this point in an investigation. I remember Georgia was banned several years ago, and part of that was a player from Baton Rouge named Tony Cole. But I would not be surprised. I would be surprised if the NCAA bans LSU from its tournament at this point. But I think the NCAA definitely hopes they don't make it to the Final Four. I would say that because that would just be a continuing bad story, if you will. But not as bad now that Wade is out of the picture. If Wade was still there, it'd be much worse for the NCAA. But what I want to know is if Javonte Smart is going to play tomorrow. I assume he will, since he wasn't suspended today. But I mean, the reasoning to suspend Wade is the same reasoning to suspend Smart, though Smart is not as guilty as is Wade, according to the FBI tapes.
Continuing on with Glenn Gilbo. All right, let's go now. We've gone from the team to a player, and I was going to ask you about Javonte Smart. Glad you covered it. Let's go to Will Wade now. Is there any chance he coaches in an LSU uniform again?
I don't think so, because I just think the FBI has much more, and I think more is going to come out in the trial on April 22nd. And again, I think the NCAA is going to investigate, and that would hurt LSU's chances, I'm guessing and predicting, with an NCAA investigation if they brought Wade back. So I would think he is not going to return.
If the general idea is to self-report, to suspend and get rid of Wade, and I think LSU is in the process of churning those wheels, if that's the general idea, Glenn, does that lessen any penalty that the NCAA may levy?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's what I said earlier. The NCAA historically likes it when the programs it investigates self-imposes penalties and self-disciplines. They like when that happens, so they don't have to do a stronger penalty, or it's a sign of cooperation and a sign of trying to make things right. So I think that will produce a more lenient penalty for LSU, if and when that NCAA investigation comes around.
We've
seen it in football. LSU fired the football assistant coaches involved with Akeem Hicks, if you remember, several years ago. That supposedly helped in their sanctions and penalties.
Here's, I guess, what would be the rub for me, and I'd love to hear your response to this, but the idea that they're, getting rid of Wade, that they're going to self-report, could help to lessen the penalties. But then again, you and I both agree that they probably weren't really blindsided by yesterday's report. So did they really do this in a timely enough fashion is kind of where I just can't wrap my mind around it yet, Glenn.
Well, now, hold on now. They weren't blindsided by yesterday's report, because I think they were keeping an eye on Wade more than before after the reports in October. And let's not forget, there was an NCAA preliminary investigation of Wade right as he took over as LSU's coach from his recruiting at VCU. So they've been keeping an eye on him. What was different about yesterday was the fact that it involved his recruitment and deals and a piece of the pie and a deal for the mother of a player on the team now, Javonte Smart. Whereas the other comments on tape were about a recruit named Balsa Kuerovic, who ended up committing to Florida State, and he's still in high school, okay? Smart's on the team right now. So I think that was what put this over the edge, and that's what I wrote yesterday, that's why this was darker and more serious than the previous stories that Wade has been involved in with the FBI tapes.
Fair enough. You can connect dots that lead to a guy who's on LSU's team, and from there, I guess we'll see what happens. We got a moment or two left. Glenn Gilbo, our guest. You should follow him on Twitter if you're not yet, at @LSUBeatTweet. As far as the rest of this season, any chance that this team makes a run with Tony Benford at the helm?
Well, I think they're going to do well tomorrow, obviously, and in the SEC tournament. And I think they'll advance in the NCAA tournament, maybe win a game or two. They could rally behind Tony. Now, Tony was fired at North Texas. He never had a winning season in 5 years. So he's never had a winning season as a head coach, unless you count this year with LSU. But they're not going to do as well as they would have with Will Wade. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, he's a great floor coach, a great bench a preparation coach, scout and report coach. I mean, he's a great coach. That's the sad thing about it, because this team, with him coaching, had a legitimate shot at getting to the Final Four. I think now they don't have a shot at the Final Four.
And I'll leave you with this, and part of the reason I asked you that question, Glenn, I thought a tweet earlier today from Jimmy Dykes, longtime coach, now an analyst, I thought it was fantastic. He asked if Tony Benford could be the 2019 version of Steve Fisher at Michigan back in 1989.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened. You know, I think Fisher was with that team as an assistant for quite a bit longer. But, that there is that. And, I mean, look, the interim coach on the football team is doing very well. And so is the interim coach at Clemson. So, who knows? It might be the time for interim coaches.
Crazier things have happened. That's why we got Glenn to report on all of it. You know, I appreciate the time during a busy stretch. Thanks, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Glenn Gilbo. You read him locally in the Daily Advertiser, also a featured columnist for Tiger Rag Magazine. I understand what he was saying. I still think there's a conflict in those two ideals. On the one end, LSU's doing all they can right now as soon as they found out. On the other end, they've known for quite some time from outside forces that they need to look internally. So for me, there's still a little bit of turbulence there. Now, I do think the action that they're taking right now could well lessen the penalty. And like I told you, I think very early glance, and some of the people I've been talking to, I'm gonna project 2 years probation for LSU basketball. And so that makes one of the things that Ron called about earlier, the next head coach, awfully hard to forecast right now. I'm a little more interested in the next 3 to 4 weeks. We'll talk more about that, the future for LSU basketball and Wade on the other side. We got plenty of time for your involvement. No scheduled guest until James Moran, your on-deck circle, previewing LSU Cal baseball at 5. We'll have Gordy Rush talking LSU spring football at 5:30, and Billy Embody, football, basketball recruiting for the Tigers, straight up 6 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Comedians everywhere with some news that is probably a little more sad, at least for the program and especially those players, than it is funny, but I'll indulge it nonetheless. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. We'll take a call momentarily, but this was too good to pass up. Anonymous texter to the program, probably somebody that would have more vermilion and white in the closet than purple and gold. This is what happens when you cross Bob Marlin. I think basketball Bob here in the Hub City has more important things to worry about, but I did get the joke. And it's at least sort of funny. Let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Dusty, thank you for waiting through the break. The floor is yours.
Oh, brother love, I'm so brokenhearted as the LSU fan, brother. Just when we thought we was in, they pull us right back out, man. We ain't been in this spot since I was born, 93, when Shaq Diesel was on the field, man, on the floor, man. I want Shaq to come back home and just take Will Wade's head and just slam dunk him and break the rim like old school style, if you know what I'm saying. I just can't believe this. This is stupidity to the max.
The problem is that I can believe this, and I'll expand a little bit more on that. Dusty, I appreciate the call. And now I'm picturing Shaq dunking a human head through a rim. So there's that mental image. We got time for more. You can paint another word picture on the program, 706-0111. I almost don't even have to ask a sink or swim question today. I will, but I almost don't have to. You know what the subject is. You know the number. Just do your thing. But today felt fairly predictable with one twist for me. If you're going to take this action, why not just fire him? That's the other thing we haven't gotten to yet. Whether you're blindsided or not, whether you believe that or not, and I don't, Because if you thought there was impropriety, I mean, if your compliance is doing their job, I mean, hell, if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. Don't you want to know if your guy is trying to give away a penny or a pound? Just because things were brought to your attention that are ugly by the national media, then you start to really take action. And again, I'm having to take our good friend Jacques Doucet, WAFB TV in Baton Rouge, I'm having to take JD at his word. And he's pretty plugged in. And he says, according to a source, about 30 minutes ago, that Will was asked to come in by Joe Oliva and the LSU Athletic Administration yesterday, and that he declined to do so. At that point, LSU felt they had no recourse. And if that is indeed the case, he's right. JD also added, by the way, that his source says Wade has not yet addressed the team since everything has happened. Now, it could be that he hasn't been allowed to. That's another issue entirely. But my biggest problem with this is the timing. And this has been very public since October. Why did it take the subpoena report from the FBI right after the Tennessee game? Why did it take yesterday's bombshell report from Yahoo Sports? Why did it take those things for you to decide, you know what, we need to really look into it? And I know exactly what Glenn Gilbo referenced in our last interview. I know what he means, that in October, Oliva said they're aware of it, they're looking into it, but it's a bigger deal now because somebody else did your job for you and told you it's a big deal. So again, I know there are outposts around Louisiana today where other radio hosts, talking heads, people in bars are going to dog cuss F. King Alexander and Joe Oliva for what they did. You're not going to find me in that camp. Based on legal advice and counsel, they almost certainly did what they had to do. I don't have issue with what they did. It's the timing. Because, again, you're either lying and you knew the whole time, or you're incredibly naive and did an awful job of due diligence since this became very public in October. And then, like I just told you, if it's really that bad, if you're really in that much hot water, why didn't you just can it today? That is the other question for me. Don't know if we'll ever know the answer. Let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Blue, first time we've had you in a while where we're not talking Astros baseball. Must be a pretty hot topic.
Yeah, well, I'm just I had to come in and out of a different area. I was listening to Glenn a while ago, but I didn't catch it all. So I know you asked him something about how much trouble you think they in, and if you had to guess, what's the end result going to be? Did he say something about what he thought might happen?
Glenn didn't necessarily. If you want to know my opinion from everybody that I've talked to, I absolutely believe that Will Wade has coached his last game for the Tigers. I believe that LSU will have the NCAA come on campus as much as they don't want them to, and that they're probably looking at 2 years probation, and that would be barred from postseason play. That would be a reduction of scholarships, and then you got to find out who wants a rebuilding job like this. And the other thing about probation, they allow everybody on your roster, except potentially Javonte Smart at this point, to transfer out freely. And so while Naz Reid, Trey Waters will just go pro, what happens to the other guys who would have been? Darius Days is going to be a hell of a college basketball player in 2 years, a hell of a player. And he probably won't suit up for LSU if I had to take a guess right now. So that's my early take on what's about to happen to LSU.
So you think Will Wade's finished now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it.
So he won't be coaching tomorrow?
Well, that's already announced, my friend. They have indefinitely suspended Will Wade. The university did that about 1 p.m. today.
Oh, okay. I'm just catching up now. And, okay, since you mentioned my team, what you think about them this year?
I will go in on the Astros. Might have to read the room. Might not be time just yet, but, Blue, you know me.
Okay.
I'll keep a promise to you. I'll answer that.
That's right. I'll be calling you back. I appreciate it, sir.
Blue, you the man. You know we appreciate you. Let's get back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, I assume you want to talk Astros, too.
Oh, absolutely not. What did anybody think was going to happen? I mean, like you've been spouting off, you know, where there's smoke and you see smoke and you see smoke. Dude, LSU is going to CYA as much as possible. You know, they're going to run away from this like, you know, the bubonic plague. The only thing that I'm worried about is these kids. You know, everybody's talking about, yeah, they can make a deep run. These kids today are not like kids when I was growing up. I mean, we weren't fascinated by squirrels because we always saw squirrels. You know, kids today, this is gonna catch their attention. This is gonna grab them and hold them, and they're gonna have a WTF moment, going, "Oh, what are we supposed to do now?"
I think you're right, and I'm not again surprised by what happened. The timing doesn't bode well for LSU. This guy is absolutely done coaching for the Tigers. I don't question that either. But the outrage from many fans out there saying, well, why didn't LSU just ride the storm out, let Wade coach? It would be worse if this thing got to the Final Four and LSU still had Will Wade at the helm. It would be much worse if this thing got to April 22nd and Will Wade was on C-SPAN with the letter block below him, LSU basketball head coach, while testifying at a federal trial, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, it's like an open wound. You know, you let it fester, it's going to get worse. I need to let Ken know that he may want to take his blood pressure medication because, you know, he sounded kind of winded, and he needs to relax because this was all a windfall. LSU will cover their butts as much as possible because LSU and many other colleges like them across the SEC, it's a multi-million-dollar business. It's not a school. It's a business. But I just don't understand why everybody's up in arms about it, because when you see what's
going on. Well, Frank,
I'll interrupt to say this.
Everybody's up in arms about it because they're really good. Seriously, that's the only reason.
But if they weren't,
then nobody would care. But here's the other flip side to that.
Nobody would give a crap.
Here's the other flip side to that. And as soon as we get off the horn here, I'm going to share a very interesting part of all this. But, Frank, you've helped lead me to this point. I thank you for that. Have a good weekend.
That's too easy, Ben. You too.
It's like stealing. It is easy money. That's the whole point. It is happening because LSU is really stinking good. It's not a coincidence that the first report from the media came out after the Tennessee win. It's not a coincidence the second report came out after LSU finished an undefeated road slate in the SEC and was a layup Vandy game away from winning the conference. None of this is a coincidence. It's happening because LSU is really stinking good, and nobody in the business thinks that they should be or that they deserve to be. The Hugh Freeze-Ole Miss comparison is apropos. Except for the Bible thumping, right? Except for all that grandstanding. I have not said this on the show because it has never felt appropriate. But if you want to know the truth, here is the truth. The college coaching community despises Will Wade and has for a long time. A number of members of the high school coaching community that I've been in touch with haven't been too fond of the methodology of recruiting, especially when he first got to the state. I'm saying this today, and you're going to say, well, Ben, that's convenient. Well, I think you'll understand why I haven't. Why say that? Why tarnish the guy? I didn't have any reason to, but it has always informed what I have always told you. It's always informed why I've been real with you and saying, I think the other shoe is going to drop at some point. There are plenty of people that are aiding the axe to fall on Will Wade. And that's, I think, what you got to get in this whole situation a little bit. Things are getting leaked for a reason. Many around the country want this to happen. As somebody who covered LSU closely for a long time, I don't. I think it stinks. I think it stinks for the kids, like Frank says. I think it stinks for the diehard fans. But the ones that aren't diehard, the ones that have leapt on this 15-2 bandwagon, they're upset right now, and I'm not sure their opinion should be considered first and foremost. If you want to know how I feel, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, Tim, enough of me. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know where to start at here. First of all, the idea that these young men are just going to throw in the towel because of what happened to Will Wade is just absolutely ludicrous. The guy that called in, and then you reiterated what he said, I mean, these guys went through one of their teammates getting killed at the beginning of the year and fought back and were resilient enough to come back and are playing for an SEC championship game tomorrow. To say that these young men are just going to throw it in, I don't buy that at all. I've got much more confidence, and I'm 58 years old, and I have a lot more confidence in the youth of our society today than some people do. Are there some derelicts out there? There's people 58 years old like me that are derelicts out there as well. But these young men, I think, have a lot of perseverance to go with what they've gone through this season, losing one of their teammates that was brutally murdered in Baton Rouge, and to say that these guys are just going to throw in the towel, I'm not buying it.
Hey, Tim, Tim, stay with me briefly on that point because it's a really good one you're making. I agree with you. Their season isn't done yet. The future of the program's in a lot of peril, but they're not done this season. Here's your barometer game. Just mark it down that I said it. Next Friday at noon, when LSU is the top seed, plays the 8 or 9 seed, we'll know maybe what the rest of their season looks like by how ready and prepared they are for that game.
Is there an NCAA investigation of Will Wade and LSU at this point in time?
My understanding is the answer to that question is no. The FBI has an investigation into the coach, not the program. And according to Ross Dellinger, LSU in the last 24 hours has officially launched an internal investigation to its program. Not yet the NC2A.
Got that. But they've been knowing these allegations since last October.
And that is my problem. That's exactly my problem. Tim, I appreciate the call. To say that they were blindsided in any way yesterday is ludicrous. Hate to cut you off, Tim. We got to take one more. Then we got to take a powder. Let's get back to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Larry, you're last in this segment. What do you think?
Well, Ben, when you take a powder, Will Wade has spoken this afternoon. Have you seen the statement that he released?
I have not yet, but you can update me.
All right. I'll let you get it. It's on the rant. It was addressed to somebody at NOLA.com. So maybe you can get it to your people after the break.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll come back in and share that. Larry, thanks for the drop on that. Interesting. Somebody at NOLA.com got some scoop. We'll share it when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Don't even really need a sink or swim question today. We're just rolling on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
All right, there is a Will Wade statement, and it's kind of been a block, almost blanket-style statement that's been sent to a lot of media members from around South Louisiana. I'll share it with you. But some more's coming out from Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. That and more coming at you. Final segment of the hour. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. I'll give the credit to Amy Just, NOLA.com. As Larry called in and suggested, she had it first. Others have shown it since on social media. I'll read the whole thing to you because, well, we don't have it in audio form. Here's Wade to NOLA.com. Quote, serving as the head basketball coach at LSU has been the honor of my life. I love this university and all it stands for. From day one, I've been focused on building a winning program made up of excellent coaches and staff and a team of first-rate student-athletes. I cannot comment at this time on various media reports, except to say that they do not begin to tell the full story. I understand the university had to take action before all the facts are in, but I would ask everyone to withhold their judgment until the record is complete. To my players and coaches, I support you 100%, and I will be with you in spirit as the season progresses. Your best response to this is to narrow your focus and make sure the last part of your season is the strongest part, exclamation point, end quotation. I'm not sure how much that gives us. I don't think there was any doubt he was all in, invested to lead this team, so I'm glad to see the little, I guess, memento and send-off at the end toward his players. Here's what I will add. In almost every situation involving two people or two entities, there are three sides. Using that, I guess, structure of a relationship with a man and a woman, the three sides are his, hers, and the truth. Right? Well, let's be honest with each other. There's his, there's hers, and then there's the truth. So what we have so far is the media's, which is coming from the FBI, what they've been able to extract so far, which, as I just alluded to in the last segment, it's being leaked by people who want to harm and damage LSU's program because they don't like Wade, his tactics, and how he's doing what he's doing. Don't ever question that that's why this is happening. Now, there's that side, the media's. There's what Wade is suggesting is his side, the full story, and then I'm sure there's the truth. That perhaps is somewhere in the middle. But again, I'm going to say the same thing that Wade did, and I'm going to mean it differently. I agree with him that we haven't heard the full story yet because, as I have told you now for a long time on this program, the one tape that we heard in October wasn't the last one. And my same guy who was right about that told me yesterday, as soon as Yahoo's report came out, that ain't the last one either. Just trust me when I tell you the FBI's got more than we know. LSU, I think, did what they had to do today. The timing will continue to be the issue for me. Let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Roy, what you got for us?
Hey, Ben, I want to touch on what you mentioned earlier. I've been noticing this for the past season and a half. His interaction with other coaches is very abrasive. And you can see that the guy's probably not well liked among his peers.
There's no question. And that's amongst his peers. So the right. High school coaches that he has to, quote-unquote, schmooze to get their kids, from what I've heard, it doesn't always go 100% in the right direction.
I didn't realize that. But, yeah, I definitely see an issue amongst the college guys. There's just some guys at the end of games, you can see their interaction with each other, and it's very very quick when he's exchanging, you know, handshakes with other guys.
Yeah, it's hard to even call those pleasantries, right?
Right, exactly. So I definitely see what you're saying about that.
Roy, thanks for the call, man. And look, here's the other thing. I told you last year with the whole LSU-UL-NIT thing, Marlon instigated it. Will definitely finished it, but he finished it with a little extra something on top. And while many LSU fans loved it, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, I live in a different world than you do when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because everybody I knew in the college coaching game hit me up immediately about that and said, wow, okay, now we know how to get under that guy's skin. Wow, that guy's showing his true colors. I know, you loved the fight. The program needed to be revitalized. There was so much of that that felt good to you. But in a bigger picture, it gave people that already despised the guy his recruiting methods and the fact, let's be honest, that he was killing the game at a young age. So many of those people had even more ammunition. He hasn't been terribly well-liked by a lot of his peers, and that's part of the reason that all of this is going down the way it is. That's part of the reason that things are leaking when you would ask yourself, understandably, how are FBI kept secrets being leaked right now? You think it's not Duke, Kentucky just because they're blue bloods, and it's not just because it's LSU. What I'm telling you is because it's Will Wade, who had some of these same shadows and demons following him from VCU. More on that in our next hour. But right now, we got to wind this one down with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Paramount, lost in all this conversation about the news story of the day nationwide, Zach Hess has a Paramount start for LSU baseball tonight at home against Cal. They need him to go at least 5-6 innings. They need him to give up less than 3 runs. To hell with what's considered a quality start. They need this young man to prove he belongs in that spot tonight. Paramount for Hess. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back talking LSU baseball with James Moran. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started
It's time to get you ready for LSU baseball. Step into the on-deck circle with James Moran on 103.7 The Game.
You heard the man. We'll take a break from all the
loud noises
about Will Wade and talk some LSU baseball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in on a Friday on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love joined by the famous Clint D. And now, aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, he is the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, James Moran. James, just another Friday covering LSU, right?
Yeah. You wouldn't think, given the way last weekend went, that the baseball beat would be the one that's kind of relatively status quo, but here we are.
Talking now with James Moran, and let's start with tonight's starter, Zach Kess. It's obviously a paramount start for him to continue to remain in that position. I guess, what's your outlook on Hess, how he's been this season, what he's got to do tonight? We're going to try and do that again. Whoa. Obviously, he's out at the ballpark right now. We love a live scene setter. You just got to be able to hear the guy. So we'll see if we can't get James Moran back aboard. Talk Zach Kess, LSU baseball against Cal. Or this is just the sports talk radio god saying, why are you changing the subject? Which would be fair. So we'll see if we can't get James Moran above. Don't forget, we're scheduled to talk with Gordy Rush, LSU spring football conversation at 5:30, and Billy Embody, a little more recruiting base. Plus, he's got some insight into Tony Benford, the man who's taking over for Will Wade as the interim basketball coach at LSU. The guy who, the record books will show, led LSU to the 2019 SEC basketball regular season title tomorrow against Vandy. No, seriously. So we'll get a little more insight into Tony Benford, a guy who was the North Texas basketball head coach once upon a time. So a lot of great interviews coming, and I believe we're working on getting another one right now. Clint's putting his thumb up, so I'll try again. All right, let's get him. James Moran, how are you, bud?
Hey, man, sorry about that. I guess it was louder than it normally is here, so I'm standing outside a little bit. But I think you can hear me a little better now, huh?
Crystal clear. Tell me about Zach Kess tonight.
Asking about Zach Kess, I don't want to say he's pitching for his job, but that's kind of the indication Paul Mainieri gave us when he spoke twice, especially on Monday. I mean, he talked about there being a sense of urgency. He's kind of running out of time to show them that he belongs in the spot he is right now. Now, on the other hand, you could raise the point, well, who exactly do they have that is pitching like a Friday night starter? And that's a whole other debate, but I think right now all eyes are on Zach Kess. I mean, he's got to pitch better. You can't have your ace that can't get through five innings, two of the three starts. I mean, he hasn't thrown a pitch in the sixth inning yet. He's got a ERA of 5.5. And look, this is a challenge tonight. I mean, Cal, the one thing this team really does is hit. I mean, obviously, Andrew Vaughn's the center of attention. He's, if not one, then 1A of the best players in college baseball, along with Adley Rutschman at Oregon State. I mean, I think he's hitting 5.30 this year with 7 homers, 10 games, which is a lot. I mean, look, and Paul Mainieri said they're going to be careful with him. They're going to pick their spots, but he's not alone in this lineup. This Cal team can really hit, and curious to see if he's kind of, you know, normally he doesn't go more than 3 or 4 starts without giving you one of those dominant starts that kind of it makes you realize what the potential is that LSU sees in him, but, you know, that clock's kind of ticking. I mean, I think they can only bet on his potential for so long if he's going to keep giving them these four and change inning starts on Friday night, because it really taxes you and kind of puts you in a bad spot for the rest of the weekend.
James, the other odd part about tonight, for my money from the mound, is that LSU has said they want to throw Landon Marceau. They've already taken him out of his Saturday slot. Tomorrow, at least for this week, it's going to be Cole Henry. But why did they make that move? And if they want Hess to extend tonight, what type of role could there really be carved out for Marceau?
Well, Marceau's pitching an inning to keep himself sharp. I mean, he threw last Saturday, and he only got through an inning in a third. He only got 4 outs. I think he threw something like 60 pitches. But they don't want him going a week and a half without pitching in a game. So they're going to throw him for an inning tonight, and then the plan is to start him next Tuesday night at Northwestern State. Now, the reason for that is that if you're going to be a weekend starter for LSU in the SEC, you're going to have to pitch in some hostile environments. And he tried it for the first time at Texas, and it did not go well. I mean, for a guy that his command is his calling card, he was walking guys, he kept getting ahead of guys, and then walking them or hitting them. He just didn't seem like he handled the atmosphere as well as he's going to need to. So basically, they really want to see him pitch – on the road again before they determine what the weekend rotation is going to look like in SEC play. And I think the other part of that equation is they like Cole Henry a lot. I mean, they've kind of seen the opposite in him, where he doesn't seem real bothered by where he's pitching or the situation or how things are, kind of that even keel guy that you really like to have in the starting rotation. And plus, he's also nasty. I mean, he was clocked at 97 in Austin. That slider, it's pretty filthy when he's breaking it over for strikes. I mean, he's a handful to deal with. So I think he's got a real opportunity here to prove he belongs. Look, I mean, when you come out of a weekend like the LSU had at Texas, nobody's job is real safe in terms of a pitching staff. I mean, maybe besides Todd Peterson, who I don't think they've lost any confidence in. I think his blown save was a little bit more of a fluke, considering most of it was just ground balls and bad defense. But for as far as the starting rotation, everything's kind of up for grabs right now. Pitch as well is going to be the guys they give bigger opportunities to next week, because, you know, the clock's ticking. I mean, a week from tonight starts SEC play. And as we know, and, you know, I'm sure I sound like a broken record saying this, those 30 games are the games that really matter in a baseball.
It's a Friday edition of B2BS at 5 o'clock during baseball season. And, yeah, that means it's time for the On Deck Circle with James Moran. We got a few more minutes with the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine. James, based off what you know on the Cal pitching staff, how logical of a conclusion is it that the top portion of Palmieri's order gets back to form this weekend?
Yeah, I would expect them to. I'm not going to pretend that I've seen a lot of tape or anything on any of these Cal guys. I know their ace has good numbers. He's got an ERA in the mid-2s, so he's at least been pitching well here for the season. But I would think if they're not as good as the Texas staff, LSU saw last weekend, but probably better than the Bryant or Service Academy staff they saw the first 2 weekends. So I think I'm not going to say it's an SEC-caliber test, but I think it's a better test than some of the ones they've gotten earlier this year. And look, it's a nice night to hit. The wind's blowing out. I mean, that might be a problem for the LSU pitchers as they try to keep Andrew Vaughn in the yard. But in terms of LSU's guys, I would expect those top four guys. Josh Smith's healthy. He sat out Wednesday for precautionary reasons, but he was feeling better, and it sounds like he's 100% now, and he's ready to go. So I would expect LSU to get back to form offensively. They're going to play one game tonight, 2 7-inning games tomorrow starting at 1 p.m. Sunday is really looking like a washout, so they're trying to get this in because I think Cal's flying home, so I don't think there's much they can do in terms of moving the Sunday game besides moving it up to Saturday.
I'm really glad you mentioned that. Let's finish right there, James. Not just the doubleheader, but both 7 innings long. How, if at all, does that affect the way Alan Dunn manages his starting pitchers and then relief guys tomorrow?
Well, I think you'd be more aggressive, you know. I mean, if you have a lead in the fifth inning, you probably start thinking about going to Todd Peterson. I mean, especially tomorrow where, you know, most coaches don't, and I would assume Paul and AD fall under that category, but most guys, you don't want to use a pitcher twice in a day. So I think if they have a lead in the first game tomorrow somewhere in that fifth, sixth inning range, you're going to see Todd Peterson. I think they're just going to be a lot more aggressive. Maybe that helps Zach Hess tonight where, you know, they say, hey, we don't need to have the bullpen as fresh. Just go out there and try to dominate for 5 innings. I mean, I think they'd really like to see that. So I think it's aggressive in terms of going to your A guys. I think that's really the biggest change when you talk about 2 7-inning games in a day as opposed to 3 9-inning games over a weekend.
LSU baseball in the air. Spring football has begun, and basketball, oh, there are just a few storylines. We appreciate you taking a little bit of time, James. Tiger Rag Magazine is exactly what people need in their lives these days.
No problem, Ben. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy your weekend.
Yes, sir. You too. And look, I know he's got Tyler Nunez to help cover a lot of the basketball stuff, but Heavy wears that crown. I know that because I used to wear that crown for a while. When you're the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, doesn't matter. If it's not your sport, quote unquote, you are in charge of everything. So that's a busy guy. We appreciate him coming aboard. Here's what we're going to do. Quick break. When we return, I've yet to give you two things. One is a sink or swim question of the day. So I'll let you chew on it now. It's real simple. Does Will Wade ever coach a game again for LSU? We've got a lot of social media response. We'll take calls on the other side. The other thing I will do when we return is give you the latest from Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, because he kind of, I think, corroborates some of what Jacques Doucet had to say on what's become a very tenuous situation in Baton Rouge for LSU basketball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
All right, let's get down to that latest Delhi report. Then we'll continue to take your phone calls at 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, Clint Domingue, taking you home and into your weekend on 103.7 The Game. Now, we let off the program, in part sharing what Ross Dellinger reported right before our show started, which is, according to his sources, LSU officials were somewhat blindsided by yesterday's Yahoo Sports report. Boy, that's still hard for me to buy. Glenn Gilbo sided with me on that when we spoke in the 4 o'clock hour. Dellinger, along the lines of what Jacques Doucet reported, has recently added this. Will Wade, presumably under advice of counsel, refused to discuss the issue or disclose information with LSU officials this morning, prompting his suspension, sources confirm. And you'll recall that Jacques Doucet, again, all this happened right about the time our show started, some of the fallout regarding the 1 p.m. decision for LSU to indefinitely suspend Will Wade. But JD reported, according to his sources, well, they asked Wade to come in, he declined. Ross Dellinger saying the same thing. Presumably under the advice of his counsel, he refused to discuss things with his superiors. That'll get you on the bench or canned every time out. And so if you're asking me, well, what's changed since you did your show yesterday, Ben? It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. The only thing that's changed is the two sides in this internally, Wade and the university, haven't been able to collaborate. They haven't discussed. LSU, according to all these reports, has requested it. Wade hasn't come forth with anything that can help them to protect everybody's backside. And then LSU, and now I'll use the Delhi phrase, presumably under the advice of their counsel, did the only thing they could. Because they know Wade's about to cover his own butt April 22nd if they let this thing go down the way we all thought it would, which is to go down in a blaze of glory. Go to the Final Four, win the Natty ship. Let them vacate it later. I don't think LSU had that choice after today and after some of these reports that are coming out. You agree, you disagree. 706-0111. Don't forget, we got Gordy Rush in about 12 minutes talking LSU football. Billy Embody, recruiting talk at 6:05. The other thing for me that's changed, and I'm glad that Ken brought it up. In fact, Clint's telling me that we've got Ken's call recorded. I'm going to run that back because it really was fantastic. Frank said he needs to take a little bit of a chill. He was worried about his heart rate. I think Ken got everybody fired up in the 4 o'clock hour. I'll run that back here in a second. But the other thing that's changed is this. When Ken brought up the notion of yesterday's sink or swim question, I asked everyone basically who takes the fall for this. LSU, Wade, both of the above, or none of the above. And Ken said both of the above. Oh, it appears today that he's right. I told you yesterday my fear was that it was going to be LSU basketball, that Wade was going to be able to take a parachute of sorts, that he'd make his way to April 22nd, and whether, frankly, he decided to take an NBA job between the Final Four and the April 22nd hearing or after April 22nd, I figured the cat would just go somewhere where he wasn't governed by NCAA rules. Today, LSU yanked away his chance at doing that. And I think that they had to. My problem is this. No chance that they were this ignorant. Trust me when I tell you, LSU has a compliance department with teeth. I mean fangs, brother. When they want to know something, they're going to know. And they're going to self-impose, and they're going to be out in front. LSU holds themselves to a very high standard when it comes to athletics compliance. They did when Herb Vincent was there. They have after Herb left to go to the SEC. These things I know personally. So to me, it's a little bit of an insult to my intelligence to think that they weren't able to do more due diligence since October. The feds weren't playing with you then. They're not playing now. That one, for me, is just still baffling in this whole situation. I think they did the right thing today. The timing scrambles my brain. And my only other issue, if you're going to take this step today, why not fire him today? Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, T, it's your turn.
Hey, Ben. No, I don't think he'll be there next year. But listen, I've got a bunch of buddies, and I want your opinion on this. I'll tell you this, and I'll hang up and listen. They say it's going to have a, you know, a trickle effect on football, baseball, and everything else. Do you agree? I'll hang up and listen, my man.
You got it. And look, T, here's the very simple answer to that question. It could. Because when the NC2A comes on campus, they don't just go to the basketball arena, the basketball ops building. That's the problem. And I've said that kind of behind closed doors with people that I associate with for months about this now. And these were conversations that you have all the time when you cover the beat. The football coach never wants the basketball program to be investigated. When they come on campus, they come on campus. And then they do a phrase that I use all the time on this show. They explore the space. And so, T, the short answer to that is it could. And certainly the chances are better than if they weren't on campus that they find something in another program. Valid point. Let's get back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Craig D., probably crying tears in his beer in the Barry. How are you, Craig?
Actually, Ben, I'm doing like Bernie Mac used to say. Let's move on.
Okay.
I want to speak about X's and O's of the LSU program during the NCAA tournament run. I know Will Wade is real instrumental in what they do. I mean, he's a whiz analytics. I'm really impressed with Greg Heyer and what he's done for the program. Benford looks like he's was at North Texas. Not a great record, but seemed like he's a good X's and O's guy. What would the trickle-down effect be without having Wade? Do you think the team's going to rally and use that as a momentum boost, as a redemption? Can these assistant coaches basically run Wade's program as is? And how instrumental will they be in knowing when to run the 1-3-1 zone press? You know, X's and O's part of it. In other words, how much will we actually miss Will Wade running through this NCAA tournament run?
I love Craig D. wants to keep it moving. I'm going to answer that question, Craig.
Thanks, sir.
I think it all comes down to, can Tony Benford be that guy that they occasionally have to fear? Seriously. From an X's and O's standpoint, I think that Benford, Heyer, and company probably have absorbed enough, frankly, probably have been instrumental enough in the game planning, the blueprinting, the in-game adjustments. I think LSU staff deserves a lot of credit. I mean, holistically, the staff deserves a lot of credit for what this team has been able to do. Yeah, it's Jimmy's and Joe's, but when they need buckets this year, this team has known how to draw it up, and maybe more importantly for me, Craig, they've known when to call the timeouts late and when not to. The other night's a great example. They need a bucket late, and they allow Trey Waters to go coast to coast, and he puts it in with less than 2 or 3 seconds left. So they've known all season how to pull the strings, and I think while Wade is at the head of that decision-making process, he's got good wartime conciliaries. He's got men that can do this. Really not too worried about the X's and O's, if I'm being honest, because Tony Benford's also done this before as a head coach. But I think we all know that a good head coach, a good manager, has to at least occasionally garner your fear. He's got to scare you occasionally. You have to fear him, respect him, all those things. And down the stretch, you got to make sure that the inmates aren't running the asylum. So for me, Craig, that's going to be the biggest thing. If Tony Benford can command the respect all the time and the fear some of the time when he needs it, we can absolutely talk about this team playing into April. I don't think that's worth giving up on, and that's a great point that Tim made earlier in this program. Our good friend James Moran has already been with us, and he waited until like 3 seconds after coming on the program to drop tonight's starting lineup. So I'll give that to you, and then we'll take a break. Tonight at the box, 1 through 9, it'll be Smith, Watson, Duplantis, Cabrera, Beloso, the freshman, will play first and bat fifth. After that, Reed at third base. Mathis catching. DiGiacomo, DH, he'll bat eighth. And Hughes, playing second base, will bat ninth. So, indeed, Josh Smith is back in the lineup, playing short, batting first, and Zach Hess will do the pitching. When we return, Gordy Rush. We'll switch it up a little. Talk LSU spring football, and then we throw shade to end hour number two. Maybe not a great day with the news at hand, but a great show. You better believe it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll bounce right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
LSU spring football is back. Excited to discuss that right now. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Hey, we're back too on 103.7 The Game. Let's head out to Baton Rouge aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, LSU football sideline reporter. That's just one of the hats he wears. Gordy Rush is with us. Happy Friday, Gordy. How are you?
Oh, nothing going on in Baton Rouge today, Ben. Nothing whatsoever. I'm excited to talk about LSU spring football, which is probably eighth on the interest list today, but I'll do it for you. I'm your guy.
We will go to spring football and talk about the undercard. But look, since you're there and we're not going to ignore the elephant in the room, just give me the mood on campus. What is it like right now in Baton Rouge on LSU's campus?
Well, you know, it's a state of shock. And obviously there are a lot of angry LSU fans. And you will watch, you know, the success of this basketball team has been an unbelievable season, the popularity of Will Wade. And you know, we got one statement that came out. There are a whole lot of rumors, you know, and things of what's going on, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I have other things as part of my job. I don't know what all's out there. Some of the little stuff that we've seen, you know, obviously that you know, what you're hearing is that Wade wanted to talk to Wade, and Wade under apparently, I guess his lawyer saying not to say anything, and it potentially might have jeopardized LSU and their lack of institutional control, and that's a, you know, that's an end game sort of thing. And so I don't know exactly what. Maybe in the days we'll find out what's going on and why, you know, what a lot of people felt like this is kind of a 180 on the stance that was taken yesterday by LSU, and nobody really has the facts, but it's an absolute state of shock, a lot of emotions going on.
Gordy Rush, good enough to join us today on 103.7 The Game. All right, we will talk about what's happening at the Ponderosa and the indoor facility. I got to be honest, Gordy, I completely almost forgot about Caleb Ochoa-Saw. Shame on me, but he's back from the ACL injury. How does he look to you?
Oh, looked great. You know, I had a first good day. I mean, he really got after it rehab-wise, and it's huge. I mean, you know, let's face it, at the end of the season, their most effective edge rush came from Jeremy Stevens. You know, they kicked him down to, you know, to come off the edge, and because of that, they missed the true DN. So I think that, you know, it's huge for him to be back. He looks good, and you know, not only that, you got a chance to play a lot of young people, and so you're excited. I'm excited with the versatility and the weapons that Dave Aranda is going to get to play with.
I had an opportunity for years to watch and cover Derek Stingley Jr. at the high school level. Maybe you did as well.
Yeah.
But when you watch him side by side with some of these collegiates, even as an early enrollee, just physically, how does he look to you and how does he carry himself?
Yeah, he looked like a college player, you know, when he practiced a couple of Fiesta Bowl warm-up practice. Really polished, obviously has a burst, but, you know, in terms of, you know, the mechanics and what have you. And I mean, when you got a guy like Ryan Clark that's really teaching so many people out here, you know, getting a chance to see his son play, what he brings to the table, you know, it's impressive. I mean, to me, I don't see how he doesn't start for LSU next year. He's that polished.
We're going to go to the offensive side, talking LSU football right now with Gordy Rush, a great follow on Twitter as well, at GLRush3. The receivers were a question coming into last year. Now some of those youngsters have experience. What's your overall outlook on the core?
Well, they've got to get better. They've got to get more consistent with some of that. And I think the pass game is going to help them a little bit in the Joe Brady, which to me is the topic, the Joe Brady effect and what he brings to the table. We saw a little bit of it yesterday, more spacing. And I think the quarterback felt like one of the things, talking to people, the coaches knew where the football was going to go, right? I mean, the quarterbacks knew where they were going with the football. And so the big question mark I had, and I think it's getting answered, I don't know the why yet, but what happened last year was this, is for whatever reason, whether Joe Burrow was hurt and or Miles Brennan was hurt and or we know the offensive line struggled and they lost some confidence, especially on the right tackle and the right edge. They opted to go more max protect.
Right.
And there are two different ways that since you can alleviate all the blitzing and stop that. You can max protect, run two receiver routes, which they did a lot. And then what they did against Rice and towards the end of the year, they started spreading the field. They put Foster Moreau in routes. And against Central Florida, it was the first time they really threw the football to the backs. I think that we'll see more of that route. I don't know why they chose the other route last year, but I think we're going to see an offense that spreads the field, makes you guard that thing from sideline to sideline. And I think that's the Joe Brady effect. And that's what I took from day number one, was the spacing, making you cover the field, and simpler, quick decisions, easier, higher percentage throws to quarterbacks. And that also translates to your question, simpler routes and more executable for receivers.
Gordy, let's pull at that thread just a little bit more because I like the direction. Given everything you said about spreading it out a little bit, what could that do for the run game and the intentions of Joe Brady, Steve Ensminger, and how they maybe, intend to run underneath it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you spread the field a little bit more. It's less power, and, I think unexpectedly you were able to dig into that game more than I think you thought you would. Brissett had a better year than most people expected. I think what happens, it favors itself more to Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit. All the guys, right? And that you're going to spread out the football field and a little bit more zone read and do the things that you want to do and less of the power game.
All right, we'll let you out with some good news, and I'm just seeing this in the last couple of moments, but
we've
learned now that Bill Franquez is back behind the mic tonight at the box. That's awesome.
There we go. There's some positive news in Baton Rouge, right?
See, I lied, though, because I'm not letting you go on that. I just was reminded. We had your good friend, if you'll let me call him that, Ruffin Roderick, earlier this week. He told a story. Ruffin told a story about, I think, you smoking Jimmy Ott in a parking lot years ago as part of a radio promotion. Did that happen?
No, that was Jerry DiNardo.
You ran a race against Jerry DiNardo.
Well, you want me to tell that story? Is that what he told you?
He didn't say DiNardo.
So after we were having a couple adult beverages at DiNardo's after he was no longer the coach at LSU. And we were talking smack. I kept calling him Magic, as in bring back the magic. And, he decided to challenge me to a little one-on-one 40-yard dash in the parking lot of Ruffino's, which was DiNardo's at the time, Baton Rouge location. Well, we get out there. We both, at 11 o'clock at night, probably on a Sunday, men, take off our shirts. Neither one of us really impressive at that point in our careers. And thank God I had wingtips on, and he had loafers with no socks. Ruffin said, go. I got him by 6 yards at the 5-yard mark, and DiNardo comes out of his loafers, does a face dive, has to all bloody. Come to find out the next day, he had to push back his flight to go see Vince McMahon for an interview for an XFL job because he had to go see Brett Bankston because he broke two ribs. So that's my Jerry DiNardo, Gordy Rush parking lot story.
It doesn't get any better than that. And I'll tell you, I thought I was one-upping him because I told him the day that Panamsky fell and broke his collarbone that you busted like a 4.7 or something like that. Was it even better?
I ran 4.7 flat at 41 on clock. It was very impressive. But you remember that day. I've never laughed so hard. Panamsky came out of the track and pulled his hamstring, did a face dive, broke his collarbone. Second runner, I didn't know who he was. He tore his hamstring. I can't warm up. I'm laughing so hard. I've never seen two people get hurt, much less serious, you know, DL injuries in a 40-yard dash. So I was happy I was mentally able to get that together and pull that 4.7 at 41. Tebow, by the way, later at the combine, just for the record, ran 4.78. Just to let you know, I beat Tebow at 41.
I love that. So let me tie everything together. Everybody that we just mentioned, one of them is on LSU's football staff. The other is a Big Ten analyst doing a great job. And then the third guy is a very successful entrepreneur across the state of Louisiana. That just about sums it up.
Yeah, and then the fourth guy serving pizza over there in Lafayette. It's a great group. It's fantastic.
That's fair. Gordy, you know we appreciate you, man. Enjoy your Friday.
Take care, man.
That's the best anecdote I've ever heard on this show. I'm serious. It's right up there with some of the stuff we got from Dr. Billy Cannon, the late, great Dr. Billy Cannon, who introed himself on an interview by saying, "Yes, Ben, I may be coming to you live from Angola, but I want to make it very clear to your listeners, I am here in a working capacity today." Of all the great lines and anecdotes on this show, that one from outside of what was then DiNardo's in Baton Rouge, wow, that might get replayed. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Shade, we're throwing it next on 103.7 The Game.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Look, here's the deal. I know that when they say you're supposed to have focus, that you need a one-track mind. I've got a two-track mind right now. I'll explain. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in on 103.7 The Game. Two things on my mind. Two great clips that we need to replay for you. One of them, it fits just perfectly into our daily plans in the 5 o'clock hour. It's time for your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com, check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home and then to beautify life outside your home. Alex will be the one to put up the shades and awnings, while Todd takes care of the installation of your patio covers in those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all. For the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
If this clip from Gordy Rush were a vodka, it would be the Grey Goose. This would be on the top shelf. So make no bones about it. What I'm about to replay is phenomenal. But part false start on Clint. Less than phenomenal. Bro, chill. The following clip is phenomenal. But the shade comes at part of the devil in the details late.
So after we were having a couple adult beverages at DiNardo's after he was no longer the coach at LSU. And we were talking smack. I kept calling him Magic, as in bring back the magic. And, you know, he decided to challenge me to a little one-on-one 40-yard dash in the parking lot of Rufino's, which was DiNardo's at the time, Baton Rouge location. Well, we get out there. We both, at 11 o'clock at night, probably on a Sunday, men,
take off our shirts. Neither one of us really impressive at that point in our careers. And thank God I had wingtips on, and he had loafers with no socks. Ruffin said, go. I got him by 6 yards at the 5-yard mark. And DiNardo comes out of his loafers, does a face dive, has to all bloody. Come to find out the next day, he had to push back his flight to go see Vince McMahon for an interview for an XFL job because he had to go see Brett Bankston because he broke 2 ribs. So that's my Jerry DiNardo, Gordy Rush parking lot story.
I'm almost speechless. Seriously, I talk for 3 hours a day, sometimes two and a half. I know, Dave, you talk more than I do. But I'm nearly speechless at that. The only shade that I can throw, I want you to think about the end of that. You know the new series of Batman movies? I say new, probably about a decade old. Clint, you know what I'm talking about, all the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. And they get to the point, I believe in the second one, where he looks at the guy that's trying to blackmail Christian Bale, and he said, let me get this straight, I'm paraphrasing. You believe your boss is a masked vigilante who can kill people basically with a single blow, and your plan is to blackmail this guy? In a similar fashion, okay, let me get this straight, Jerry DiNardo. You're going to go to a job interview with Vince McMahon, who literally fosters and profits off the idea of fighting, and your idea is to cover up your bloodied face and your broken ribs? That would only help you to get a job anywhere where Vince McMahon is running the show. That's a crazy, remarkable story from Gordy Rush. But the shade I could throw at the end there, it would be this simple. Take your broken ribs and your bloody face to Vince McMahon.
Done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All right, I'm not above throwing shade at myself. You know that if you've listened to this program long enough. So how about a little P.S. post-shade? And then we are getting to that second audio clip. Ken, your call was too damn good about an hour and a half ago. We're going to run that back before this hour's over. Here's some post-shade, and I've never told this story on the show before, but if Gordy's telling his, okay, I could show my hand too. That day that we keep referring to, where Gordy blazed a 4.740, faster than Tim Tebow in the combine that year. That day where Derek Panamsky tore his hamstring and then fell into his shoulder and broke his collarbone. And then, in my opinion, fell into a really good radio job and then fell into the coach at LSU. But it's a different story. But that same day, yours truly, kind of like Gordy said, with or without the shirt on. I wasn't too impressive at that point in my career. These days, though, you catch me on a treadmill, on a track, on an indoor turf situation, I will smoke you. Just saying, I've gotten it together. Post-Achilles tear, the kid can burn a little bit. I can fly. But boy, at that point, I'm going to say ballpark 2009, maybe 2010. Nope. Fatter. Wasn't working out. Hadn't met Orange Theory Fitness yet. Wasn't in good shape. Clint, I don't mind telling you, I also fell that day while running a 40. I took 2 runs at it. The first one was sub-5. That was good. The second one, which Les Miles was stopwatching at the media pro day. Yeah, I took a tumble. Didn't injure myself, but I definitely fell running a 40. And yes, that's embarrassing. All right, before we run out of real estate here, just a day of stories, right? Will Wade will have his eventually. Gordy and I got ours in now. And Ken called earlier with one of the best, hottest takes in a minute.
Well, it may be, but I told you yesterday when you asked that trivia question, I told you it would be LSU and Will Wade, and there it is. You have Will Wade, never coach again at LSU. Players are going to leave. If they're going back, he brought them from the ash heaps to some prominence. Now they're going back to the ash heaps. I told you that yesterday. You disagreed with that. But see, here it is. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I told you. It's Will Wade and LSU. It's just not just Will Wade. Players gone. In my opinion, I told you that yesterday. Leavers need to be gone, too. This is a disaster, man. And now LSU going to go, well, I can't cuss because I'm pissed off right now. S to S. You know what S to S means? From sugar to S. Yeah. So that's where LSU basketball program going to. I told you that yesterday when you get that critical question. You asked that critical question. I told you it's LSU and Will Wade. And look at it is. My God, I'm so PO'd. You know what? I ain't watching no. I don't care if they win the SEC title going to be for not. They're going to get stripped of it. Probation, all this stuff going to happen, man. We're sinking again.
Ken,
next 5-10 years.
That is still just as good. When my man says, here it is now, you knew it was about to get heavy. And from S to S, yeah, Ken, I read you loud and clear. 2 hours in, we still got 30 minutes to go. Billy Embody at 6:05. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, a day of stories on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Nothing going on today. Nothing to see here, right? Yeah, not even a little bit. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Crazy busy. Friday, March the 8th, and we're back in for another half hour on 1037 The Game. Ben Love and the famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job, too big or too small, just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We will get a different take on the situation from a different angle in a second. Billy Embody going to give us some insight into Tony Benford and what LSU has to do moving forward to continue on its arc, which I think at this point is toward, maybe at the worst case, a number two seed in the NCAA tournament. So we got a great guest coming aboard in a minute. Clint's taking you under the dome to end today's show. Little Cajun softball conversation. Not enough attention being paid to Jerry Glasgow's ladies over at Lamson Park. But yes, the big news of the day, certainly, LSU basketball coach Will Wade indefinitely suspended. So Tony Benford takes over immediately as the interim coach. That begins tomorrow, according to Ross Dellinger. LSU is now conducting an internal investigation into the program. According to Ben Love, there's another tape out there. This thing could get worse. And I just refuse to believe that LSU's brass were as blindsided as they have leaked to Ross Dellinger. But this is a topic today that we've only started, I believe, to peel the scab back on. It's going to persist through the weekend and through the month of March. Yes, the madness. Oh, I think that it has begun. Enough of that, though. It's time that we go in a slightly different direction. And it is time. Billy Embody joining us does great work each and every week. Go247.com. Let's go out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. How are you today, Billy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. This entire show, 2 hours plus leading up to this point, you can probably imagine what the subject matter has been. I'm going to take a different tact with you because LSU still has to go out and win an SEC regular season championship tomorrow. Presumably, Billy, they're going to have to go through the SEC, maybe even the NCAA tournament without Will Wade. What all do you know about Tony Benford? He's taking over as the interim coach and the way they prepare, the way they go X's and O's on the floor.
Well, I think right off the bat, you have somebody who's been in that chair of running a program, not just on the court or in practice, but all of the things that go on with running a major program. He was the head coach at North Texas for 5 years, was let go in 2017 after that season. And Will Wade hired him to go ahead and take over as an assistant coach for him. And so he's a veteran coach. He's really well respected as one of the great guys in the industry. Somebody that I think the players will be able to really connect with on the floor and just will want to play hard for. I think that's the biggest thing right now is you've got somebody in Will Wade that is so well respected in terms of his X's and O's that you need these players to want to play hard, to want to band together, and I think Tony Benford is certainly somebody that they'll do that for in this role.
All right, one more. As far as the X's and O's stuff, the on-floor activity, this team without Tremont Waters, I mean, really was so good, especially in the Tennessee game. I've asked this question to Hunt Palmer, who's joined us this week, and I want to phrase it to you. What changes, what's different as they integrate Trey back into the rotation?
I think you'll see more of Trey obviously facilitating more. When he came off the bench and did that, he played off the ball. We saw in the Florida game he really took more command of the offense. They did some different things, so Florida really isn't a good example of that and how LSU will play because their defense is just so – it's just something that you just don't see every day as a basketball team. And so you'll see them just kind of get back to the way they want to play, which is get up and down a little bit more, score points. Trey can, you know, beat people off the dribble really well. He can kick out to Javonte Smart, to Skylar Mays for three-point looks if they want to. Trey can really put a lot of stress on an opposing team's defense and just kind of open up other options for players like Naz Reid and Cavell Bigby-Williams and Emmett and Darius Days and all those guys. So he just puts a lot more stress on the defense because of just how well he breaks them down off the dribble.
Billy Embody, good enough to join us here as we wind down our Friday program on 103.7 The Game. All right, you've come on this show before, Billy, and given us the list of kids that LSU basketball is still in on, right, for this late 2019 period. I'm not sure how today's news and how things going forward will affect that, but as a refresher, right, I guess a crash course for our listeners, remind them, who are some of the prime targets that are still left to potentially be a part of next year's LSU basketball team?
The two big names to know down the stretch here are Lester Quionis, who's a four-star shooting guard out of IMG Academy in Florida. He's really one of the top three-point shooters in the country. But another thing with him is he's developed his body, he's developed his defense so well. So LSU is right in the mix for him. Right now I've got the crystal ball pick in for LSU to land him, but certainly we'll kind of monitor things as they go forward with today's report. Maryland, Indiana, Memphis, Ohio State, Georgia, those are some of the teams in the mix there for Quionis. And then the other one is Trendon Watford, the five-star power forward out of Mountain Brook, out of Alabama. He's the number one player in the state of Alabama. It's really been an LSU-Memphis battle for much of the spring, and I like where LSU sits. I've also got a crystal ball pick in for LSU to land him, but again, I think that's a situation where LSU will have to fight until the end. He's got a lot of ties to Memphis. Mike Miller was an assistant, was running a high school program when his brother went through his recruitment, so the Watfords have a lot of familiarity there. With Mike Miller, who's an assistant at Memphis, and then Bama's kind of lurking around. They've hosted him on an official visit earlier this year. There's certainly some questions with Avery Johnson and his job status. So how might that affect things there? But really, LSU, Memphis, and Alabama, and then Duke has been at least coming into the mix as far as watching him, evaluating him, and trying to get him on campus for a visit to see if he's interested. But for the most part, it's been an LSU-Memphis battle down the stretch.
All right, let's switch it over a little bit to football. And already we're in the 2020 cycle. That is frightening. But as far as these kids that are current juniors, about to graduate their junior year of high school, I guess what would you take away so far from the one junior day that Ed Orgeron and LSU have had and the way that they're starting to harvest this crop in-state? Let's start with the in-state guys. Your takeaway is the job they're doing.
Well, the in-state job that they've been doing took a little bit of a hit when Jaqueline Roy, the Baton Rouge University high defensive end, decommitted from LSU. He's right up there in the top players in the state of Louisiana for next cycle, so that was a big blow. So until then, they really had a ton of momentum, and I still think they do. They're set to host some pretty big names over the weekend, and I think there's a chance you see a couple guys potentially pop for LSU, maybe even this weekend. I think there's one that could go more public, I think, with his commitment this coming weekend. So kind of watch for that on Go 24/7 as the visitors kind of roll in. But in-state wise, they still have the number one player in the state, Kayshawn Boutte, committed to LSU. They've got guys like TJ Finley and Cameron Jackson, one of the top quarterbacks in the state, and then Cameron Jackson, the defensive tackle out of Haynesville, committed. So they have some nice pieces there. Out of state is really where they made their pop, and we can talk more about that, but just having Elias Ricks, that five-star corner, committed has made a big splash already in 2020.
Well, I think you just took us to the next question. Out of state, is the tune any different there? And I know from talking to your partner in crime, Shay Dixon, he thinks this is a year where, because of some of the lack of star power, at least in terms of depth in Louisiana, the Tigers are going to have to go out of the boot. So what do you make so far when it comes to out of state?
They're doing a great job. I really do think that they've done a good job cultivating relationships, taking advantage of some long-term relationships like in California, where Ed Ogeron really is still very well respected as a coach, hosted a lot of these young, well, they're young now, but they were really, really young when he was back at USC for their football camps. And so a lot of those players actually still remember those camps they went to with Ed Ogeron at USC. And now you're seeing a little bit more California flavor come into this LSU recruiting class. And so I think that could still continue. I think there's a few prospects on board that are certainly high on LSU and could pop later this spring. So those will be something to watch as well as they continue to host guys and get guys in for visits.
Hey, one other thing, Billy, before we part ways today, I wanted to get to Walker High School. And as we speak, they've already won their state semifinal game on the hardwood. They're going to play tomorrow for a state championship back-to-back in 5A. And I got to call their state title game over Landry Walker last year. Jalen Cook is a 2020 prospect. Brian Thomas, 2021. So special that they've got an opportunity to play either basketball or football. And it seems that one is leaning in one direction, the other a different one. But I guess what's LSU doing on that front, football and basketball? And how might Chad Mahaffey taking over at Walker High affect that in any way?
Yeah, I think for one, Jalen Cook, I think you kind of alluded to it. I think he's leaning towards playing basketball at the next level. LSU, as of now, sits in a really good spot. However all this works out, I think LSU is in a position where they can certainly make some waves and land Jalen Cook when it's all said and done. If they do want him, and right now he's playing at a level where you've got to absolutely put the pedal down and get him. He's the number one player in the state. He's been outstanding all season. So that's one. Brian Thomas is the 2021 wide receiver who also plays a little bit of guard for Walker, but I think football is kind of where he's leaning to. That one will be probably a little bit more of a battle, but I know he's high on LSU. He really liked the Florida offer he picked up. Alabama, I mean, he's going to be a truly national recruit, but LSU did a good job offering him early as well after camp last summer. And then with Chad Mahaffey, I think that's, for the most part, a positive for LSU. He's handled some high-profile recruitments over at U-High, and while LSU didn't necessarily raid them last year of the talent that they had over there, they've got a good relationship with Coach Mahaffey, and Jaqueline Roy was a one-time commit. So I think it's a positive for LSU to have Mahaffey over there and for him to be taking over that program.
We're getting oh so close to LSU baseball here at 103.7 The Game. Of course, LSU hoops, some of the bad stuff has been our main fodder today, but we appreciate Billy Embody breaking it up and giving us the goods. LSU basketball on the court and then basketball football recruiting. You can read all about it at go247.com. Billy, thanks for taking the time. Enjoy your weekend.
Anytime. Thanks, Ben.
Pretty good points, right? When he talks about Tony Benford, what he brings to the bench, a guy who's been a head coach, if you have to give the team to somebody right now, yeah, it needed to be him, as opposed to, I guess, somebody like Greg Heyer, who certainly is an up-and-comer, or at least he has been until all this you-know-what has hit the fan. But a lot like Ed Ogeron, happened to be around for LSU post-Miles in 2016. That's a lot of what you're getting right now, at least in some respects, from Tony Benford. And the recruiting stuff, always good as gold, from our man Billy Embody. We got to hit our final break of the program. And, yeah, we're getting you ready for LSU-Cal baseball. Huge start for Zach Hess. Cajuns baseball, going to do their thing tonight against Loyola Marymount at the Teague as well. But we try to keep it well-rounded. Haven't talked any Cajun softball in a hot minute here. Clint gave me an idea earlier today. Hey, set me up. Let me do it, big fella. We're doing that on the other side. We're taking you under the dome. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back to wrap it up on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We'll be right back.
yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Back in it to win it. One final time. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports to you on 103.7 The Game. Speaking of in it to win it, I know a lot of people locally are hoping that'll be the case tomorrow from Burton Coliseum when it comes to St. Thomas More basketball. Do not forget, Danny Broussard and the Cougars will play on our sister station. Danny Jones will have the call. 2 p.m. tip-off from Lake Chuck. 1:45 is the pregame show. It's STM basketball. One final time for the Division II ship on the Rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM here in Lafayette, 104.1 Oak Grove, Lake Charles. Big ball game. LCA already got their state championship earlier today. An opportunity, let's see here, in about an hour and 40 minutes, roughly, if everything's on time, for Bro Bridge to really kind of do the impossible. And if they do it, we're going to have a parade. Well, they're going to have one. We're just going to make sure to do our part to celebrate because the Tigers take on a top-ranked Bossier team tonight that's absolutely mind-blowingly good at the 4A level. Had the call of them versus Karen Crow on Tuesday. So good luck tonight to Bro Bridge. And as we just mentioned, best of luck to Danny Broussard and the Cougars. You'll hear him tomorrow, 2 o'clock, on The Rewind. All right, no more looking back with The Rewind. Time to look forward. Let's fast forward into what's going on now and what's coming for Jerry Glasgow and UL softball. For better or worse, obviously, when you think of Coach Glasgow, his name, his family's name, has been, I guess, in the headlines this year for a tragic reason, the loss of their daughter and everything that has followed. But if you can find a way to really kind of divorce yourself from that tragedy, which, look, they can't, just like LSU basketball can't from Wade Sims, but if you just look at what's going on at Lampson Park, if you look at what's going on in the circle, the way this team is hitting compared to others in the recent vintage of Cajun softball, they're playing awfully well. And Clint wanted me to give him some time to highlight UL softball. I don't like that idea. I love that idea. So CD, without any further ado, hit us with the good stuff.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The opening weekend of Sun Belt Conference play for Louisiana Region Cajun softball is officially underway. In fact, it just started a few moments ago with a series in San Marcos against the defending conference champs in Texas State. But this isn't the same Texas State team that you saw last year take the Cajuns to the limit. But I'll get to that in just a little bit. When you look at the schedule to this point, they've taken care of business against all the teams they were supposed to. And are currently 15-3 on the year. Sure, they lost to North Texas. I think that's the only one that was a real surprise. Fourth-ranked Oklahoma last weekend. It is what it is. Some good experience was being built for this Cajuns team, especially when you look at Oregon State and that tough 9-1 loss in five innings last weekend against the host of that tournament, Oklahoma. The rest of the tournament was canceled due to weather, so it would have been nice to get a little bit more confidence built into this team and get some experience, get some reps in a very tough place to play. Because you look at their schedule, it's been a lot of home games, but against a lot of little sisters of the poor, if you will. That's been the biggest issue I've had with the Cajuns for a while. But that's not the only thing that I've had issues with and noticed flaws when it comes to the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. And one of the things that I've seen is been a complaint of mine for a while back, and it dates back to the previous regime, and that's the pitching rotation or lack thereof. Summer Ellison has been the only consistent starter for the Cajuns. All 12 of her appearances were starts. Everybody else has gotten starts here or there. It's been early on in the season, but we haven't seen necessarily see a clear number two. That being said, I think there should be a number two, and that's Kendra Lamb. She'd be the person that I'd put the most confidence in. Because one, she had a no-hitter to start the season off against Incarnate Word, and she also has a pretty low ERA at 0.93. Perhaps this is the weekend Jerry Glasgow finally kind of puts a little more emphasis on the freshman. She's more of a featured role now that the games are starting to matter a little bit more and you're getting into conference play. While the pitcher rotation does have a lot of question marks, the offense is kind of the same old when you look at it. From last year to this year, not much has really changed. It's still not the power-hitting team that you remember from back in the Lotief era, but there's still a lot of positives right now for the Cajuns when you look at that offense, because they've been putting up some great numbers. None of the starting nine have been batting below 275. That is pretty consistent, to say the least. Some hitters are hitting about 450. You're seeing some reserve players, they're hitting around 300 or so. It's impressive to see what the Cajuns have been able to do at this point in the season. Mind you, the conference play is what matters the most. I want to see what they can do now that the calendar is flipped over to March and you're getting ready to start focusing in on these big matchups over the next few weeks. But just looking at Texas State this weekend, we're giving you the update. We might as well look ahead to this weekend series. I really like the Cajuns' chances because this isn't the same Bobcats team from last year. They don't have Randy Rupp anymore, and that plays a lot into the Cajuns' favor because the Bobcats pitcher, she was phenomenal. I think that was a big reason why Texas State was so successful over the last few years. I think that was a big reason why the Cajuns in their first year under Glasgow did not win the Sun Belt Conference title. So I think this is going to be a big thing. And the offense is going to have their field day against a team that's surprisingly 9-11 heading into conference play. Nobody really expected that, but I like the Cajuns' chances of getting it done in San Marcos.
Well done, per the usual, CD. And I know you like to play a lot of the Simpsons. We're talking baseball. Well, for once, we're actually talking softball. And we're glad that you did, and we're glad that we made it to the finish line of what has been an incredibly eventful weekend. Just try to catch your breath, because with everything going on, in particular with LSU basketball, it has felt like, and obviously it has been, a whirlwind. And this is really just tip of the iceberg stuff. We'll have full coverage, everything that happened against Vandy, what's going on with Will Wade, plus LSU baseball. We'll do UL getting ready for the Sun Belt Conference tournament on the hardwood, UL baseball as well, and who knows, we might just start to dabble with the Houston Astros. You think we were busy last week? I promise you, it's about to ratchet up this coming week. My thanks to all of our great guests today. Look, for only 2.5 hours, a dynamite-packed guest list. Glenn Gilbo, James Moran, Gordy Rush, Billy Embody. If you missed any or all of them, make sure you go on demand, 1037thegame.com. You can click there or tap on demand on the free 1037 The Game mobile app. Get those interviews in your life. You're going to be happy that you did. Have a great, fun, and safe weekend. Enjoy your sports. We'll do the same on this end. For the famous Clint D, and then YP, all of you people out there in listener land, for calling, for texting, and for chiming in on social media, we appreciate you. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.